Ramsey TV.
Did you guys see the video yesterday? Yeah, the last part of the Sovereignty series. Did you see that Billy Graham section where Rodney had that little clip of Billy Graham? I know that was awful. It was just awful. He looked so, I don't know. It was like something deep down inside of him knew that everything he was doing was screwy. Well, I don't know. Kicking against the goad, yeah, maybe. Like Saul, but is that guy still alive? I'm sorry, I can't remember. Martin Zender here. Welcome to a new week. I'm broadcasting from the edge of the bottom like the Floridan. I'm broadcasting from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, as is my wont. I'm giving you a little different angle today because if I turned the camera a little bit that way, you would see a disturbing sight having to do with my trash basket. I don't want you to see that, so therefore I'm avoiding it. If you didn't watch yesterday's video, part 8 of the Sovereignty series, I'll put a link to it down here for you. And when you go to that, you will see all sorts, you will see all 8 parts linked there. If you know somebody who's struggling with human free will or the sovereignty of God, send them number 1 and have them listen to the whole series. It's an 8-hour investment, I realize that. But what price peace? What price security? What price knowing your father? I mean, I think it's a good investment. Yeah, it's a really good investment. So watch that. I got some great news for you. Absolutely great news. For those of you who want to gather, for those of you who want to meet fellow members of the body of Christ, get ready. There is a meeting planned, a conference planned. I know you're all waiting because you're all hoping. People in California are saying, please make it in Sacramento. People in Richmond are saying, please make it somewhere on the East Coast. Columbia, South Carolina. Jack and Tracy Branham. I'm going to get more details to you, but know this. I believe we're looking at the first weekend of September. So get the kids off to school and get to the conference. I don't know who the speakers are going to be yet. I might be the only one. I don't know. But I'm longing to see you. And I want to meet you. Jack and Tracy visited down here, I think, last year. And they got the bug to start up this conference. So I invite you to be there. We'll give you more details upcoming, probably this week. I'll have an exact date for you. But now block out in your mind the first week of September, okay? It's going to be on a weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We have a meet and greet on Friday. Then we're all about talking about God all day Saturday. Messages and Q&As and private discussions and good food, good fellowship. It's just going to be great. And then Sunday, we go half a day and then send everybody home full and rich. And so more details on that coming up. Now, 1 Corinthians 9:19. Are you ready for this? It's a paradox, but I absolutely love this. 1 Corinthians 9:19. Paul says, "For being free of all, I enslave myself to all, that I should be gaining the more." Paul was free of all. And I mean, we are so liberated spiritually and even socially, even emotionally in Christ. Like, we don't owe anybody anything, really. I mean, just, okay, the basics, you know. You owe your dad to take out the trash. You owe it to your wife to provide those necessities of marriage. But as far as draining yourself, as far as, let me put it this way, scratch everything I just said, all the work we used to do, all the people we used to connect with, either in a desperate attempt to please God or in a desperate need to bring other people the so-called gospel, because we were told back in our organized religion days that if we didn't herald the gospel to certain people that we met, flight attendant, the server at the restaurant, then If that person went to hell having not heard the message, you were going to be accountable. All this stress, all this pressure. And you had to connect with certain people in the church, the pastors, and you had friends in the church, and you felt like you had to just be everything to everybody. Well, here's a weird thing. When Christ called us into his body, Paul says this, being free of all, he is now free of that. All the ties he had in Judaism, with the leaders, with the people, he was obligated to minister to the people, as I feel obligated to minister to the people. It was a constant pressure to him. I'm not saying it's a pressure for me, and you're going to find out why in a second. He felt obligated because of the nature of Judaism. The nature of the Mosaic law was do this or else. And so he was obligated. Aren't you under a lot of stress when Christmas comes along? Why? Because you're obligated to send Christmas cards to certain people. And then if you miss a person, if you don't send it, then they wonder why you hate them, right? Even today, when you text people, as I've said, if you don't end it with a smiley face or a winky wink or a heart or a cloud or a sunshine or a clown face, they think you hate them. You can't even write a sentence and end it with a period when you text people. What is it Martin like to be anymore? So all these obligations. But the thing is, in Christ, we have been freed of all of it. And you need to know this because of what will naturally happen next. Being freed of all, Paul says, I enslave myself to all. Being free of all, I enslave myself to all that I should be gaining the more. It's the paradox. People say this all the time concerning sin, that if you tell somebody that they're delivered of sin, from the guilt of sin, from the condemnation of sin, of chasing the flesh, of always worrying about if you're going to fail God. My God, if you deliver people from that, they are going to go crazy. They are going to commit sins of all kinds. And that is so not true. I put myself out there as Exhibit A. I'm practically sin-free. And I'm living in Fort freaking Lauderdale, okay? I have many opportunities to sin. I don't take them. I mean, I'm being a little facetious there about, of course, nearly sin-free. But I feel no compulsion to do anything wrong. I try to live my life circumspectly. The reason I do that is because I know, this is the paradox, I know that God's smile rests on me no matter what I do. No matter what I do, I can't get myself out of his favor. And knowing that I'm free of all, it makes me want to be enslaved to all. It makes me want to minister to you. I mean, I think you feel the same way about this work, right? You know that you can come here. You know that we fellowship together, and you know that I offer this teaching freely to you. And then you feel so liberated from the compulsion, like to give to a ministry, right? Like the old days, they pass the basket and people just obligatory money, they toss it in there and you get reminders in the church bulletin, have you supported your church today? All this BS. You feel totally liberated from that. Because you feel liberated, you give with a joyous heart, with a happy heart. There's a verse that says that Paul wants joyful, gleeful, that's the word. Here's the verse reference. Gleeful, cheerful givers. It's that way with money. It's that way with time. It's that way with care, with the care of the people that you love. I remember hearing the story back in the Civil War of a man who would buy slaves in order to set them free. Have you heard this? Yeah, true story. So the guy would go out, and of course, these poor people who are enslaved, they're at the auction block. It's just a horrible time in history, but they were bought, and their heads are down, of course, because, oh, I'm going to be the possession, the property of a new owner, so how's it going to be? What's it going to be like? And so when this guy then took them to his home, he had a glad announcement for them, and the announcement was, you are free. And it's like they had to ask him again, what do you mean? No, I bought you in order to liberate you. And do you know what these freed slaves would do? They would serve that man. They didn't want to leave someone with as large a heart as that, with such great compassion as that. The man says, what are you standing there? The door is open. Go, go. And they practically get down on their knees and they beg him, let me stay with you. I want to serve you. Do you think that would have happened if that man would have locked them up in a room and threatened them with a whip? No. But the only reason this joyfulness, this glee can happen is if you fully realize the grace of God and that you are free of all. It's just you and Christ, baby, just you and Christ. And it would be, everything will be fine. Knowing that you're so excited by the rareness of that rush of liberation that all you want to do is serve Christ and serve other people. Look for an opportunity to pass on the word. You become a joyful worker. I mean, I'm speaking from experience. Sometimes it gets stressful, yes. But what has kept me going all these years is the knowledge that I've been free of all. I don't have to do this. I don't have to make a show every day. I don't have to publish 9 more books this year. That's right, 9 more books before the end of the year. Don't have to do that. But I want to do it. I want to serve night and day. I want to serve you. I want to serve God night and day. I'll admit, I mean, there's something selfish about it. It makes me happy. Let's face it. It gives me joy to be able to spend myself. And you experience the same thing. You will experience the same thing if for some reason you have not yet realized this liberation. Now, on the sin part of this, I'm going to give you this verse here. Why don't I just do it instead of telling you I'm going to do it? That's a bad habit I have. Paul says to the Romans in chapter 6, starting with verse 17, now thanks be to God that you were slaves of sin. You're going to hear a lot about this verse in the sin series coming up. 8 Sundays in a row, you're going to get messages from yours truly from 25 years ago. But the truth is timeless. That's what I love about this job. Thanks be to God, you were slaves of sin, yet you obey from the heart the type of teaching. Talked about that last week. The type of teaching to which you were given over. That type of teaching is freedom. Liberation, freedom from thinking about sin, from worrying about sin, from fretting over your failures, because your failures will happen. And as I said, you can't be free from sin if you're not a sinner, because Paul says, reckon yourselves to be free from sin. Well, you can't do that unless you're sinning. Wait, watch this. Now, Paul said, now being freed from sin, you are enslaved to righteousness. Look at this. In Romans 3:21, Paul says, yet now a righteousness of God is manifest. Yet a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith. That righteousness is given us, just like salvation. Right? I said before, and I've always said, that belief does not precede salvation. Otherwise, belief is a work that gets you saved. Otherwise, belief is the quarter that kicks out the gumbo of salvation. Otherwise, salvation is a vending machine. But no. Christ saves sinners. So you find out that you've been saved 2,000 years ago, then you feel like, wow. And then once you really understand that you're liberated, then again, you want to serve the one who freed you, just like the slave example. Paul calls himself a slave of Christ. But Paul, you said in Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ frees us. How can you call yourself a slave of Christ? Just like that owner who bought the slaves to set them free, and they felt so joyful at finding a heart so large and empathy so great that all they wanted to do was serve that person. All we want to do is serve Christ, because it's not under compulsion. And the people who think it still is, namely Christians, they have to keep it going. Many of them believe that they keep their salvation by working. Many of them think that God's frown is one evil deed away, and so they're constantly circumspect. And they're miserable people deep down. They're worried all the time. Those are their service. I don't think it counts. I'm going to say something controversial right now. It's a new thing for me. I don't know. I better study myself. I think that works done under such compulsion, I don't believe they really count. but works done from a free heart. Knowing you don't have to do it. Knowing you don't have to give. Knowing that you don't have to serve people. Those works, those count big time. And so the Romans were enslaved. He just talks about them being free. Now in the same sentence, he talks about them being enslaved. This time Paul uses a figure of speech, personification. He says they're enslaved to righteousness. Righteousness isn't a thing. How are you enslaved to righteousness? It's that the Romans have given themselves over, as have really motivated themselves. No, what motivated them was being called free. And it motivates them to do the righteous acts. I think it's talking about acts here, enslaved to righteousness. It's talking about acts. It's also talking about attitude. They have this only because they were pronounced free. And they believed it. You see, they believed it. How many times have I heard, oh, you can't tell that guy about grace. Maybe you can tell him and her and him. You tell that guy, no. He's going to take advantage of it. He's going to go crazy. He's going to lose his mind. Trust grace. The evangel is God's power of salvation. Grace is rocket fuel. Oh, these people who assume that grace gives license to sin. No, excuse me, but that was the law of Moses. You got confused there. It's the law of Moses that people push against. Romans 7, people rebel against. That's what produces more sin. Not only keeping the sins going that you were doing, but inventing new ones. That's the law of Moses. Grace, this is the biggest paradox in the scriptures. It's grace. It's the only thing that will work. If you want someone to produce righteousness, tell them that because of Christ's sacrifice, they don't have to produce righteousness.